History students are getting a fresh perspective on the Civil War from a Union soldier. Private Robert Sneeden's illustrated memoir is the basis for a new book titled Eye of the Storm, A Civil War Odyssey. Charles Bryan of the Virginia Historical Society is co-editor. He says Private Sneeden enlisted in 1861 in the 40th New York Infantry Regiment and spent much of the war in Virginia.
He served as a map maker in the Army of the Potomac, and as a result, nearly three-fourths of the drawings were Virginia scenes. Northern Virginia, he was involved in the Peninsula Campaign, and then he was eventually captured in November of 1863 by the Gray Ghost of the Confederacy, John Singleton Mosby, up near Brandy Station, and then he was imprisoned for several months here in Richmond.
Charles Bryan of the Virginia Historical Society and co-editor Nelson Lankford had a big job sifting through the Sneeden source material. It was acquired in two separate batches and contained thousands of pages of narrative and hundreds of drawings, watercolors, and maps.
This man Sneeden's Civil War experience from his first days in the war, his service in battles and skirmishes, his life in camp, his being captured that cold November night in 1863, and then the next year he spent in a variety of prisons. And one time, as he said, it was hell on earth for him.
It's not exactly a diary. He made notes and then wrote this text after the war.
Exactly. He kept a day-to-day diary during the war, and when he was in prison, he kept it in shorthand. And it is obvious that after the war, in the 1870s and 80s, and maybe up until the 1890s, he transcribed that diary and converted it into a memoir. And now many scholars are considering it one of the most significant Civil War documents published since the late 19th century, maybe even since U.S. Grant's memoirs.
For one reason, he was all over the place.
He was, as one of our scholars has said, he was the Forrest Gump of the Civil War. He seemed to be everywhere. He was an enlisted man, yet he was at headquarters at the Army with the Army of Potomac, and he had access to information and people that the average soldier did not. So he served in several major battles and campaigns here in Virginia, and then he ends up in prison here in Richmond. And then he goes, all Civil War camps were notorious, both North and South, but he ends up in probably the most infamous of all of the camps, Andersonville.
A cold wind blew all last night. Fires were kept burning, around which we shivered until daybreak. Not many got asleep. I took a chum in with me today, Tom Tabor. He was one of our guard at Miller's house at Brandy Station and was captured with us. He belonged to a Massachusetts regiment and lived near Boston when at home. With his help, our shanty was made more comfortable. We drove in pegs at the bottom, laid in pine sticks lengthwise, and rammed in sand and earth a foot or more high on three sides.
He provides a detailed description of how horrendous life was in that camp for those, at one time, 30,000 soldiers crammed into a small space.
Yeah, early on, he's my kind of soldier. You know, he's a private in the Army, and here he is hanging out at the Willard Hotel, having a good time in Washington, D.C., but later on, he sure paid.
And another interesting thing in this diary, scholars have talked a lot about alcohol consumption during the Civil War. Such and such a general was drunk when the battle began. And you really see it in the pages of Sneeden, that alcohol was readily available on all levels. And it was not at all unusual, unlike when I was in the Army, to be sitting around the campfire with the generals with a tumbler of whiskey or camp punch, as he called it, and getting a buzz on toward the end of the evening and getting ready for the battle the next day. It's amazing what he tells us in that diary.
Yes, it's so rich. He talks about the horrors of war that we've heard from others and swears it won't happen to him, but then it sort of creeps in every now and then.
It does. The Union Army is in Hampton getting ready to begin the Peninsula Campaign, and he complains about his colleagues digging up this graveyard and looking for jewelry in the coffins, and yet a few days later he casually mentions that he's in a cemetery and he picked up the skull of an infant, which he uses as a soap dish. Just that very matter-of-fact statement, it's quite shocking.
And he goes on about thieves, and yet he ends up profiteering a bit himself.
He does profiteer. By the end of the war, he arranges a parole for himself from Andersonville, and ends up working for a Confederate doctor. It may have saved his life, and he has access to these warehouses with shoes and clothing and what we would call care packages that were being sent by families to their imprisoned friend or relative or son. And yet he turned around and sold these to the Confederates at a considerable profit.
He was so resourceful. I mean, this is the kind of guy, if anyone was going to survive this hell of Andersonville, this was the guy.
He managed to find food. He managed, when he became very ill and came close to dying, he managed to have people take care of him. He's an interesting man. He's an enigma in some ways. He was obviously very well educated, had strong abilities in math, but he was well read. He was a good writer. And he used these to his advantage. These factors helped save his life more than once.
So you would figure that a guy like this, with so much talent, would be known to us after the war. He would have made something of himself afterwards.
You would think so. And after the war, he was a professional failure. He never married, did not have children. He tried his hand at architecture and engineering after the war, but he never succeeded. And we're not sure. In his service records, he complains that he was an invalid as a result of his Civil War experience. Nevertheless, he lived to be 82 years old. And I think the war never left him. It was burned in his memory, and he was consumed by the war. But the fact that he was a professional failure, the fact that he never married, gave him a lot of free time. And he spent that free time working year after year after year on this memoir.
Charles Bryan is co-editor, along with Nelson Lankford, of the new book, Eye of the Storm, A Civil War Odyssey, written and illustrated by Private Robert Sneeden.